This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, October 24th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. More quakes and floods coming. Cal Chamber launches Small Business Center. And USDA to confirm new CCC funds for ag export promotion and food aid. Delta quakes unearth California's water weakness. The state's water system has edged through multiple extreme droughts over the past decade, but the drinking water for millions of Californians and most of the state's irrigated farmland can be cut off for years by one earthquake. The economic impact would reach nearly $10 billion, an estimate that has grown 157% above a 2017 projection, that according to the Department of Water Resources. A 4.2 magnitude earthquake struck near Isleton last Wednesday, and on Monday a 2.9 tremor hit Twitchell Island. DWR has not reported any damage to water infrastructure, but it warned of a 72% chance that a 6.7 magnitude quake or greater could hit the Bay Area in the next 20 years. More than 1,100 miles of Delta levees would not hold up to such a shaking. It is a major impetus behind the Newsom administration's Delta Conveyance Project. Meanwhile, DWR is warning Californians to prepare for floods as the potential rises for another wet winter. DWR Director Carla Nemeth yesterday hosted reporters at a levee setback project near Sacramento to showcase plans to divert more stormwater over the seasonal rice fields of Yolo Bypass. She described how the state is investing in such floodplain restoration projects to combat extreme flooding made worse by climate change. Cal Chamber dedicates new center to small business policy. Cal Chamber plans to mobilize grassroots advocacy with its new Small Business Policy Center at the Capitol. Nick Ortiz, who joined Cal Chamber in February after leading the Greater Bakersfield Chamber, he'll oversee the center. President and CEO Jennifer Barrera called it a game changer, saying, "More important than ever than our policymakers here and fully understand the issues and costs our small business employers face." A key focus of the center will be on informing lawmakers of regulatory impacts on day-to-day operations and the profitability of small companies. Cal Chamber noted that the issues trickle down to employees, since 55% of all workers are at business with fewer than 100 employees. In Washington, the USDA to confirm new CCC funds for ag export promotion and food aid. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is preparing to confirm later this morning that he will be using $2.3 billion in funding from the USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation to help farm groups promote their goods in foreign markets, as well as donate more U.S.-grown commodities to those in need overseas, according to government officials. Of that total, $1.3 billion of the CCC funds will go toward the new Regional Agricultural Promotion Program, which is meant to replace the expiring Agriculture Trade Promotion Program, or ATP, put in place during the Trump administration. Those funds will also deliver an, quote, investment in providing targeted technical assistance to the specialty crops industry, end quote, help it enter and expand markets that often impose onerous non-tariff barriers on their products, that according to a USDA document obtained by AgriPulse. And $1 billion in the CCC funds will go toward donations of more U.S.-grown commodities to those in need overseas. The amounts being announced by USDA later today are slightly less than the overall $2.5 billion that the department proposed using in a letter last month to House and Senate Appropriations Committees, as reported on by AgriPulse September 15th. Now take note, sources tell AgriPulse that USDA is not close to accepting RAPP proposals. USDA told industry officials yesterday it still has to go through the lengthy rulemaking process in the Federal Register. But when USDA does eventually accept proposals, it wants farm groups to concentrate on promoting exports to Southeast Asia, Africa, and South America. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Plan C. House Republicans vote on third speaker nominee. House Republicans are set to meet today to find a new nominee for speaker among their eight candidates. Notably, former President Donald Trump says he's not taking a public position at this time. He previously endorsed Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, who withdrew from the race Friday after he lost a third straight round of floor balloting. Trump said in New Hampshire yesterday, "I'm staying above it. I have to right now." That should be good news for Majority Whip Tom Emmer of Minnesota. He's considered the leader among the nine candidates. Emmer is one of two candidates. Ag Committee member Austin Scott of Georgia is the other, who voted to certify President Joe Biden's election in January 2021. Trump said Emmer is, quote, "my biggest fan now because he called me yesterday, Sunday, and told me he's my biggest fan." Now take note. The hard right House Freedom Caucus is calling for lawmakers to stay in Washington until a new speaker is elected. Most of the Republicans who forced the ouster of then Speaker Kevin McCarthy are HFC members. By the way, that ninth candidate, Dan Muser of Pennsylvania, dropped out of the speaker race last night. Farmers reject EPA's Endangered Species Act herbicide strategy. The Environmental Protection Agency's complex framework for complying with EPA's draft herbicide strategy to mitigate risks to endangered species would, quote, "impose enormous new regulatory burdens and uncertainties on nearly every agricultural herbicide user in the contiguous lower 48 states," says a letter to EPA signed by more than 1,500 producers. The letter says producers and applicators may have difficulty in determining if their land falls under regulation or compliance obligations. The letter identifies producers' environmental concerns if herbicides are limited, including the inability to continue to use reduced tillage and cover crops. Weeds can steal limited water and nutrients from the soil and crowd out your crop. If not properly managed, they can quickly overtake a field and even result in total crop failure. If the herbicide strategy or other regulations deprive us of the tools needed to manage these destructive pests, many farms across the U.S. will struggle to stay afloat, says Alan Meadows, a soybean grower from Halls, Texas, and director with the American Soybean Association, in a statement. Finally, here's today's He Said It. "I've said there's only one person who can do it all the way." You know who that is? Jesus Christ. That former President Donald Trump joking in New Hampshire about the House Speaker's race. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, October 24th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.